can see I'm a bit heavy laden today. But I just want to start this. This is about finishing well. And I'll unpack that a little bit later. But during the worship this morning, I just felt God say this. A lot of what I'm saying today has been chopped and changed just by prayer this morning as I've been out running and just had a sense of what God was saying. So, and it might change again. So forgive me if I go with the flow, because I've got a couple of words to share for people here too in the midst of all that. But I felt God say this, I am so with you. You are a faithful people and I will not let you down. It's time to pack up this tent and move on. But where you are going has already been prepared. So stretch out your new tent and see what I will do. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And I just have a sense that we're almost like going back into the Bible and we're being like the Israelites as we're being moved around. And we don't want to go anywhere where God's not. And I just have a sense that he's very much with us and for us. And he's cheering us on. And he knows that we're feeling a little bit apprehensive. Yet there's a bit of excitement in that mix, don't you feel? You know, there's all that tension between what is to come. And this next week is a weird kind of transition time. So 6 years ago, we walked through the doors of this Salvation Army Citadel to begin a new chapter in SCF. And we had no idea what lay ahead. I personally had a broken heel 6 years ago. And 1 week later, the world shut down. We had one service and then we couldn't meet. So like everyone else, we found ourselves navigating lockdowns, not one, but two, but three, uncertainty, isolation, and change. And yet somehow through it all, God held us together. We got pretty good at Zoom. And one of my favorite memories is rehearsing worship songs with my girls and the youth at the time recording Raise a Hallelujah, which was great. And when that just brought it back when they sang it this morning. You know, within these walls, we have celebrated births and dedications. And over 6 years, a church family accumulates weight in all forms. You know, four of my children have been baptized in those 6 years. We've welcomed new people into our fellowship. We've laughed together, we've worshipped together, and we've watched God at work. But we've also carried sorrow. We've stood beside families saying goodbye to precious saints who finished their race and are now safely home with the Lord. So today we remember Peggy Painter, Chris Cullum, Colin Strange, Margaret Coish, and Graham Spring in particular. Faithful people who've been part of us. These are members of our congregation, but many of us have also lost loved ones. And we've had to navigate our own grief. We've experienced change as leaders have come and gone. We've walked through seasons none of us would have chosen. And if we're honest, these 6 years have also held disappointments. There have been prayers that, from our perspective, have remained unanswered. Promises we believed God had spoken that have not yet come to pass. People we long to see restored. Situations we still don't fully understand. But faith doesn't pretend that those things never happened. Faith chooses to trust that even when we cannot understand God's hand, we can still trust his heart. And Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And this building has held all of these seasons. So I've been carrying a rucksack and it's a bit heavy, so I'm just going to put it down and just open it a bit and just release some of the burdens. I've got a massive Bible here. But you know, this is what is what we stand on, isn't it? But there's other things that we carry that we need to let go of. Sorry, I've got a bag of black bin liners as well. Not everything in our rucksack is something that has happened to us. You know, we have to lay down a few burdens, I think, this morning. And over the 6 years of doing life together, we've probably all said things we wish we hadn't. We're human, aren't we? You know, perhaps someone's hurt us. Perhaps we've hurt someone else. Maybe misunderstandings were never fully resolved. Perhaps expectations weren't met. Maybe there's been a bit of resentment quietly gathering in our hearts. But maybe we're feeling a little bit anxious about what's to come as well. Maybe there's a bit of fear and we don't really want to let go. You know, Robbie spoke so eloquently about his experience with anxiety. And I don't want anyone to go from here not having prayer. If you really want it, please come and see us. I would stop now and pray for you, but I wouldn't be able to get through to the rest of what I wanted to say. But I will happily stay. You know, we're not having coffee today, so let's use our coffee time for communion time and pray for each other. You know, that's a different kind of refreshment, but we all need it today, I think. Hebrews tells us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, as a runner, I cannot run if I'm carrying something heavy. I travel as light as I can so it doesn't hinder me. I also wear the right shoes. You know, I walked into here with a broken heel because I was wearing the wrong trainers running. And it took me 6 months to get strong again. In our Christian walk, we need to keep short accounts, travel light, and I suggest wear the shoes of peace, as Ephesians 6:15 states. So next week, we move to Foxmoor. Now hear this with love. We can't afford to carry unnecessary baggage into the next season. If we take unresolved hurts, unforgiveness and bitterness into the new ground, will hinder what God wants to do in us. And I think today is an opportunity to travel light. I just want to pause a minute because I've got a couple of words of encouragement for a couple of people here. This morning I just felt that I saw a picture of someone colouring in, like a colouring in sheet, and then there was someone over their shoulder saying, oh, you haven't done that. That's gone over the line. And it was like that nitpicking. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. And I just felt God say to you, you are enough. Take no notice of the nitpickers around you who will tell you that's not enough. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. I want to tell you this morning, you are enough. And the other word I had was unfinished business. And I just felt that there was perhaps a one or two people here that there's some things in your life that have not yet been finished because there's something you need to do, you know you need to do, that you've not yet done. And it might be something you've said, God, I will do that. Yes, I know that's what you've asked me to do, but you've put it off. And I don't know what that situation, it might be talking to somebody, it might be a scenario at work or whatever, but I just felt that there was one or two here that said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that, but you've not yet quite done it. So there's an unresolved, unfinished business that needs to be done. So on your chair is a slip of paper and a pen, and I'm going to ask Roy to play a little bit so it doesn't get a little bit awkward. And I just want to ask you the question, what do I need to leave behind in this building? Now, it may be a word, it might be fear, it might be anxiety, it might be whatever it is, what you feel. It might be a disappointment. You might be disappointed with God that he's not answered a particular prayer, a hurt, a fear, a name, a regret. Write it down. No one is ever going to read this. Okay? This is simply between you and God. And when you've done that, I want you to screw it in a tight ball. And Rog and Megan are going to collect it in two black bags. We're not going to open those bags. We're going to get rid of it. And it's almost like an act of worship. It needs to be left here. And if any of those things you need prayer for, I will happily pray and stand with you. Or during this time when you write things down, if you want to pray with somebody, please do. This is an act of worship. You know, as we move forward, I just feel we need to let go of some of the things that the last 6 years maybe have brought up. So, Roy, if you can kindly just play and just have a think about anything that God brings to mind that you know that you need to let go of. And if you are listening to this on recording, if you haven't managed to come today and you want to do the same, then feel free to write down something again or just bring it to God as we move as a congregation from this place to the next. One John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What belongs in this building stays in this building. It will not travel to Foxmoor. So today we move forward with lighter shoulders and freer hearts. Thank you, Roy. Now, we don't leave this place empty-handed. We leave carrying a testimony. And all of us have something to be thankful for since we've been in this place. And I want to personally thank you for the way you've encouraged the prophetic and allowed those of us who are developing that spiritual gift to grow. It sharpens us. And I'm really grateful for that personally because it's hard sometimes sharing and thinking, oh, have I done it? But I want to thank you for that supportive environment, and I want to encourage you all as we move forward just to stand out. We know we're amongst friends, and just if you've got something to share, be in, you know, just do it. Like Robbie this morning, it builds the body. We need each other. And you know, we're all grateful that Martin survived his bike accident, you know, and many of you have also had tough situations you face. I think Jenny, how many times we've prayed for you, you know, when you were abroad and things like that, and scenarios didn't quite go to plan. You know, Denise, you know, you're going to get a better arm, you know, and it's like we've all gone through scenarios. We've needed prayer to sustain us. But you're still here, and we're so grateful for you. When I was preparing this, I came across these quotes about finishing well. And the Roman philosopher Seneca, I think he was around in Nero's time, but yeah. And he said, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And this other philosopher, Ralph Waldo Emerson, I think sums up what this week is actually about. He made this poignant remark, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. I'm going to say that again because I think that's really important. What lies behind us, i.e. this building, and what lies before us, that's Foxmoor, are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. That's our faith in Christ and the fact he's with us all the time. And finally, Billy Graham said this, "The will of God will not take you where the grace of God cannot keep you." So what we carry within us is far more important than any building we meet in. But I do believe we change atmospheres wherever we go. And whenever Roger and I go to a hotel or an Airbnb or whatever, we do bless whoever takes it after us before we leave. And just as we've done, it's important to bless the Salvation Army as they now host their morning service here. Now, I've got one last item in my rucksack, which, Kez, would you kindly help me with? Now, Roger Cole, a few weeks ago, spent some time talking about Ebenezer stones, so I thought it would be quite appropriate to have our own about, you know, what we take with us, what we're our foundation. And the Bible is sitting there as the true foundation. So, Kez, I've got seven stones in here. They weren't taken from a beach, okay? They were bought from Works for £3. And I've painted them with different names. So if you can find out number one for me. You know, he spoke about from 1 Samuel 7, after God had delivered Israel, and Samuel took a stone and set it up, calling it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And Ebenezer isn't a monument or to a building. It's a monument to the faithfulness of God. Buildings change, situations, circumstances change, and leaders change. But God's faithfulness never changes. So today, I'd like to build our Ebenezer together. So stone one says?
Oh, preservation.
Preservation. This stone reminds us that God has preserved us. He's carried us through a global pandemic. He's sustained his church. He's never abandoned us. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Now, I have done them in such a way that they should balance. So our bottom stone, number one, is preservation. So our number stone two says?
Legacy.
Legacy. So this stone represents legacy. So we honour those faithful saints who've worshipped in this building and have now entered God's presence. You know, those, you know, heroes of our faith that have gone before us. And I'm not just talking about those I've mentioned today. There's been many over the 40-odd years we've been in fellowship that have really helped us in our journey. So I want to honour them, and we honour their prayers, their faith, their example, their love for Jesus that helped shape us. We honour the fact they finished their race well. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. So stone number three.
Mercy.
Mercy. This stone reminds us of God's mercy. Moments ago, we let go of burdens, failures, regrets, unforgiveness maybe. Not because they never mattered, but because Jesus has carried them. His mercy is new every morning. It's going to be new next Sunday, but it's new every morning. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. So stone number four.
Hope.
Hope. We acknowledge that not every prayer has been answered, and not every promise has yet been fulfilled, and some stories still feel unfinished, and some questions remain. But an unfinished story is not a forgotten story. We worship a God who is still writing our story. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. This is where it's getting a bit wobbly. Right, stone five.
Finishing well.
So, finishing well. So I'm going to elaborate a little bit more here. This stone reminds us how we finish matters. We're not talking about remaining faithful to God and completing the purpose he's given us. No, that is exactly what we're talking about. When we talk about finishing well, we're talking about remaining faithful to God and completing the purpose he's given us. He's put a call on us as a fellowship. And it's not just about starting with enthusiasm as we did 40-odd years ago, but ending with integrity and perseverance. You know, the Apostle Paul is one of the greatest examples. And near the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the faith. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Even after suffering imprisonment, persecution, hardship, he never gave up on the gospel. He finished by keeping his faith and encouraging the next generation, which is what our hearts are, isn't it? Of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of finishing well. And before his death, he declared, it is finished, because he had completed the work the Father gave him to do. He remained obedient even through suffering and fulfilled God's plan of salvation. There's other characters who've been faithful. Caleb shows us that finishing well has no age limit. At 85 years, he was still trusting God's promises. Joshua finished by challenging God's people to remain faithful, saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He left behind a legacy of commitment to God. Joseph finished with forgiveness and hope despite all he had suffered. Daniel, Simeon, Anna, and the Apostle John all demonstrated lifelong faithfulness. They stayed devoted to God, remained steadfast through changing circumstances. The common thread in all these lives is that they were faithful, obedient, persevering, and focused on God's promises rather than temporary circumstances. But of course, there are those that didn't finish well. Saul, Solomon, and Demas, he didn't carry on with Paul, because he was persuaded by the world's luring things. He had a love for the world rather than a love for what God could give him. God is not only interested in how we begin our journey of faith, but how we finish it. And finishing well means staying faithful to Christ, persevering through trials. Run with perseverance the right race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I learnt about finishing well many years ago in my early 20s when I left the Stroud News and Journal to join YWAM, Youth with a Mission, in Fiji. And I handed in the required month's notice. I was looking forward to having a week break between leaving my job and flying to Fiji, which I hadn't anticipated was the other side of the world. My geography wasn't great until I realised how far away it was. But you know what? My editor told me that it wasn't acceptable to give her a month's notice. I had to give her 5 weeks' notice because my 4 weeks didn't count because she was away on holiday for a week, and so therefore she needed extra time to replace me. And I was disappointed, if I'm honest. I thought it was unfair because I worked until Wednesday evening and I flew to Fiji the next morning. And I remember talking to a friend about it. He was in our fellowship at the time. And he gently encouraged me with this message that I've never forgotten. It's imperative that you finish well. Bless her and leave well. So that's what I did. I worked hard until the very last minute. I honoured her and I left with my head held high. Over the years, that editor has become one of my closest and longest friends. I've prayed with her. I've seen her through many difficulty. And when she has something that she needs praying for, I will be the first person she texts to pray. If I hadn't have finished well, that relationship would not have been what it is today. As we leave this building, may we do the same with gratitude, with grace, and with love, with our heads held high. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. The next 2 points are very quick, but I just felt I needed to elaborate on that. Ooh. Kez, I might need your steady hand. So, stone six.
Provision.
This stone reminds us of God's provision. Every volunteer, sermon, cup of coffee, cake, shared meal, communion, worship song, act of kindness, answer to prayer, and every evidence of God's grace. He has faithfully provided everything we have needed. Thus far, the Lord has helped us.
There's a lot of pressure.
On tape, they're perfectly still. Stone 7, the final one then.
Future.
And finally, this stone represents our future. Foxmoor Primary School is simply the next chapter. The God who has been with us here will already be waiting for us there. The mission continues. The gospel continues. The kingdom continues. Thus far, the Lord has helped us, and he will continue to do so. So let us pray. Father God, today we've got our Ebenezer piled up. Father God, today our hearts are full of gratitude. Thank you for this citadel. Thank you for every life that has been changed here. Thank you for sustaining us through seasons we never imagined. Thank you for those who've gone before us and whose faith still inspires us. Thank you for carrying us through disappointment, grief, and uncertainty, even when we could not always see what you were doing. Thank you that you are still faithful when prayers remain unanswered and promises are still unfolding. And thank you for your mercy that enables us to leave behind every burden, every regret, and every offence. As we step into Foxmoor School next week, help us to finish this season well. May we honour one another. May we love one another. May we forgive quickly. May we carry only what you ask us to carry. And may these stones remind us for years to come that you have never failed us. Thank you, Lord, that his grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And so with grateful hearts, we declare together, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Amen. I'm happy to pray for anybody, please, at the end.